good to see everyone this evening. It's good to have you with us, and I appreciate an opportunity now to spend some time in God's Word. This evening, if I would encourage you to come back, I'm going to talk about building a positive marriage, and we're going to be looking at some biblical principles in the Old and New Testament that will help us to have a marriage where we can live in such a way as to both the husband and wife get to heaven. So building a positive marriage, I hope that that would be encouraging to you, and we invite you back for that series this evening. Tell you what, between Lance and Phil, a guy doesn't have a chance. You don't know about Phil yet. So Lance apparently is trying to sabotage me with the invitation song. But Phil, during the break, said, keep it to 20 minutes. I said, I'd be glad to keep the introduction to 20 minutes. But Phil redeemed himself during the Lord's Supper. That was a very moving talk, a very good reminder. Thank you, Phil, for that. He was just kidding, of course. In the scripture reading, in James chapter 5, there is a reminder there that even brethren can get caught up with material things and focusing on material things. Actually, that passage of scripture is quite disturbing if you think about it. It's really quite disturbing that I'm reading about brethren who are sidetracked on physical and material things. They are not paying their laborers. They're cheating their laborers. That's very disturbing that brethren are doing this. This is not just people out in the world. This is brethren. And that apparently, verse 6, very disturbing, they're killing some people. So, something's going on there that's not right. This morning, I'm going to focus on this matter of gold. Verse 3, your gold and your silver are rusted. They had a priority on money and material things. Jesus taught the importance of priorities. We live in a world that focuses on material things and money, and gold and silver. Jesus taught priorities. Our lesson this morning, brethren, is about priorities and making sure that we understand what is most important in life. And I'm glad that you're here. Because we get caught up in a world around us that has physical things, and it's about money and work and my phone and my car and my house and my big, do I have a big enough TV to watch NFL? Do I have a big enough TV to play video games? Jesus teaches priorities. In Matthew chapter 6, he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust doth consume, but lay up treasures in heaven. Later, Jesus taught priorities in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. What does it profit if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? Our soul is more important than things. Laying up treasures in heaven is more important than things. Jesus and obeying the gospel and being a Christian and going to heaven are more important than money and things. So this morning I want to talk a little bit with you about the fact that God in His Word tells us that there are some things that are more precious than gold. And I want us to be reminded of that this morning. All over the world, not just in America, gold is considered a highly valued item. It is so highly valued that we have many expressions that have the word gold in it that shows you how much emphasis we put on that. We have the gold standard. A person has a heart of gold. Someone has struck a gold mine. A golden opportunity. We live in the golden age of such and such. And for those of you who are younger and you like to take pictures on your phone, You know that when you go out in the evening and the sun is about to set, you want to get one of those golden hour pictures. Some of you are familiar with that, right? Gold is used to describe what is important, what is valuable. In fact, we went to our grandson's birthday party yesterday, and one of my sons texted and said, "Well, is he a golden boy?" I hadn't heard that one, meaning someone who's popular. We put gold in our expressions to show that something is popular or valuable or something of a high level. And God is not opposed to gold. We might own some gold. I don't have a whole lot. God is not opposed to it. Gold was used in the tabernacle, in the building of the tabernacle. Gold was used in the building of the temple. God's not opposed to it. In fact, He gives it to us. It's a mineral. It's a resource that God gives us in our earth. But gold itself is not important. Jesus, being saved, going to heaven, that's what's important. And when you read in James chapter 5, what you read is brethren who have gotten out of whack with regard to their priorities. Brethren have lost sight of that. In fact, turn with me back to James chapter 2, where gold is mentioned there in James chapter 2. They, brethren, were assembling together. If there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and fine clothing, and there come also a poor man in vile clothing, you have regard to him that wears the fine clothing and say, "Sit here in a good place," and you say to the poor man, "Stand there or sit at my footstool." They were actually showing respect of persons in the assembly based upon what somebody's wearing. "Oh, he's got gold on. Well, you come right over here and have a nice seat. Well, you don't have any gold and you're not dressed. You go stand over there." And you're thinking, wait a minute, that goes on in the world. James is not talking about worldly people. Every chapter of the book of James, he mentions brethren. Brethren this and brethren that. He's talking about Christians who had lost sight of what's important. And shame on them for making that assessment and respect of persons. Shame on them for doing that. And James is trying to bring back to reality the importance of priorities. And so he goes on to say in verse 5, it's not about what you're wearing and your gold and all of that. Those who are rich in faith, they are heirs of the kingdom. So this morning I want to talk about things that are more precious than gold. There are three mentioned in the Old Testament, and we'll look at three that are mentioned in the New Testament. We're in a world today where the gold standard is so important. I'm talking about physical gold. It's important among the world. It's important among people around us that we've got to make sure that we're not caught up like these brethren are in the book of James, thinking that that's where life is at. There are things that are more precious than gold, and it's easy for brethren to forget that. Let's take a look at some of these things. Begin our journey this morning with me, if you will, by turning to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. Stop and think about this, brethren and friends. If someone were to offer you a big old pile of gold, and you had to choose one or the other, you can't have both. If somebody said, "Here's a big old pile of gold or a Bible," which one would you take? I mean a big old pile of gold. I don't mean a little piece, a little nugget, a little piece of jewelry that you might... I'm talking about a big old pile of gold or this. You can't have both. Which one would you take? "Oh, I'd take the gold." Well, Psalm 19. Do you know that the Word of God is more precious than gold? Do you know that? Psalm 19, verse 7. "The law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. Look at this. More to be desired are they what? He's been talking about the Word of God, than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the droppings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. The Word of God is to be desired more than gold. But then that raises the question, why? Why is that? Let's look at Psalm 119. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Would you rather have a big old pile of gold, or would you rather have a Bible? We know what the world would take in so many cases. I hope we would take the Bible. And we'll talk about why in just a minute. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 72. Psalm 119, 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Is that our attitude? Look at verse 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. The Word of God is more precious than gold. Why is that? Well, first of all, it's the very Word of God. The Word of man is worthless. What you're holding in your hand when you hold the Bible is the very Word of God. Number one, it's true. That's why it's more valuable than gold. Number two, it leads us to salvation. It can save us from our sins. That's why it's more valuable than gold. Number three, it's always applying to our lives. It doesn't matter if we're 2,000 years removed from the time of Christ, for example. It's still pertinent today. It still applies to us today. It never grows old. It's the very Word of God. It's true. It never grows old. It leads us to heaven. That's why it's more precious than gold. The Word of man is not true. It does not lead us to heaven. It's constantly changing. It always has to be updated. How many times do we get a Windows update? How many times do you get an update on your phone or something else? We have to update things. God's Word is not ever updated. And our attitude needs to be like the psalmist, where your Word and your commandments are more precious to me than gold. It gives us a whole new perspective when we go home and look at our jewelry rack and we see maybe a gold chain there or something else. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not what life is about. And if for some reason somehow that was all taken away from us, no big deal. We can't take it with us to heaven. It's not going to help us get to heaven. You can have gold rings and chains and gold crosses and all that kind of thing. It's not going to help us get to heaven. Obeying the Word of God will. God's Word is more precious than gold. But there's something else that we're told in His Word, and that is that when we read the Word of God, and we already got a taste of it here, that when we read the Word of God and apply it in our lives, that is more precious than gold, and it's called God's wisdom. God's wisdom, which comes from God's Word, is more precious than gold. Turn with me to the book of Job and some other passages where we will see this very thing. Job chapter 28 is the great chapter in the book of Job on the wisdom of God. And the chapter starts off in verse 1 with talking about physical gold that can be mined out of the ground. And people go down into the ground and they go down deep and they mine for gold and silver. But start reading in Job chapter 28 and verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knows not the price thereof. Neither is it found in the land of the living. God's wisdom ultimately comes from God. It doesn't come from men. The deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not in me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. You can't match those two things up because wisdom is more valuable than gold. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, neither shall it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of crystal, yea, the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then comes wisdom, and where is the place of understanding, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all the living, and kept from the birds of the heavens? Destruction and death say, we have heard of a rumor thereof with our ears. Verse 23, God understands the way thereof. Oh, okay, it comes from God. Wisdom is more precious than gold. The applying of the Word of God in our life is more precious than gold. But ask yourself why. Why is that? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Proverbs 3, 13 through 15. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding, for the gaining of it is better than the gaining of silver, and the profit thereof than of gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and none of the things thou canst desire are to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways, wisdom's ways, are always the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retains her. Why is that? What does God's wisdom do for you that gold cannot? Here I am reading my Bible and I'm learning God's wisdom and I apply it in my life. What can it do for you that's more precious than gold? Well, it helps you make important decisions in life. Gold can't do that. Young people, you're trying to make important decisions in life. What do I do with my life? Who do I marry? What kind of job do I get? Do I become a Christian or not? How do I act? How do I talk? How do I dress? This helps you with that. Gold can't do a thing for that. It can't do a thing for that. Wisdom helps you make decisions in life. It helps you answer questions in life. It helps you to have a good marriage. We'll talk about that tonight. It can help you raise your children right. Gold can't do anything like that. Wisdom helps us make the right decisions in life and make the right choices in life. It helps us to guide our ways through the difficult things of life. Sometimes there are good times and sorrowful times. Sometimes there are people that like us and don't like us. How do we act on our job? How do we act in the neighborhood? How do we act in the community? How do we act at school? God's wisdom tells us how to act in all of these situations in life. Gold won't do any of that for you. Gold's not going to get you to heaven. But God's Word and the application of His Word, what we call wisdom, will. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared unto it. The wisdom and the prudence and the understanding that comes from the Word of God guides us properly through life. It's what we need and what our children need. They're not going to get it at school. They're not going to get it with their friends. They're not going to get it from gold. They're going to get it from the Word of God. We put so much emphasis on the things of this life, and so much of it surrounds material things, and it's leading so many people astray. God's Word and His wisdom is what is best for us. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Now, somebody today would say, whoa, wait a minute. No way. I'd rather have a pile of gold. Solomon wrote some of these Proverbs, and he had a lot of physical gold. But even he recognized that God's Word and God's wisdom is better. Yea, to get understanding is rather to be chosen than silver. It's obviously more valuable. And then last of all, turn with me to chapter 20, Proverbs 20 and verse 15. There is gold an abundance of rubies. That's true. You can find gold all over the world, different precious stones. But the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. You get a room full of a bunch of people, there might be a lot of gold in there. Gold chains and gold rings, there's gold everywhere. But to find someone in that room that has lips of knowledge, that's not science, math, history, geometry. That's the knowledge of God's Word. You find someone with the lips of the knowledge of God's Word, boy, now you've found somebody. Yep. And you can be that somebody, by the way, at school and at work and so forth. The application of God's Word, what we call wisdom, is more precious than gold. But let's take it a step farther. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. Let's look at a third thing that is more precious than gold. If we will take God's Word that is more precious than gold, and we will learn and understand and grow and apply those principles in my life and in the lives of my children and those around me, I have a second thing, wisdom, that is more precious than gold. And then here's the third thing. When I take that Word of God and I take that wisdom and I apply it in my life, listen carefully, and I have a character and a reputation among others around me that is upstanding according to God's Word, that is more precious than gold. Turn with me to Proverbs 22 and verse 1. Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name, which is talking about your character, your reputation. It's not talking about Chris or Reeves or Lance or Phil. It's not talking about your personal name. It's talking about your character, your reputation. A good character, a good reputation is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Your character is more valuable than gold. Do I always tell the truth? Am I always honest? I don't steal. I'm a Christian. I've obeyed the gospel. My sins have been washed away in the blood of Christ. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I save. I work hard. I don't have debt that I can't handle. I'm not irresponsible. I'm responsible. My character, my name, my character, my reputation. Not my grades. Not my grades. Grades are good. Young people, grades are good. Make the best grades you can. It's not about grades. It's not about the clubs that I'm in and the grades that I make. It's your character that God is looking at. Or I'm moving up in the ranks, I'm being promoted at my job. God's not looking at that. He's looking at your character. And if you can't get promoted, I think that's great. It probably shows you're a hard worker. That's a good thing. But God's not looking at that. He's looking at your character. He doesn't care what size our TV is. He cares about our character. And so, that is more precious than gold. And we've gotten away from that in our society. When was the last time you saw a commercial promoting someone's good character? You don't see that. You don't ever see that. It's always how much money. How much money is the athlete making? Not what his character is like. We do that all the time. We focus on an athlete. They're on multiple marriages. We find out that they've been abusing women or something like that. But, oh, he makes millions. We exonerate Hollywood stars and athletes and other powerful people, but we don't talk to our children about character. I'm all for sports. I think that's great. Some of our kids did sports. That's fine. But it's not about growing up and, well, can I be an important sports figure? It needs to be, am I going to have the character that God is looking for, that I'm a faithful Christian when I get old enough to be that? Because according to the proverb, one's character and reputation is more important than gold or silver. Let's be building a character that is founded upon the Word of God as we go through life. Well, where does that begin? Let's look at the next thing that is more precious than gold. Turn with me to 1 Peter. The first three are found in the Old Testament. The last three are found in the New Testament. And they happen to all be found in the book of 1 Peter. So turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Let's see how that we can begin to build that character that God is looking for. How does it begin? It begins by becoming a Christian. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Knowing that you were redeemed, that is, bought out of sin, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, even the blood of Christ. You weren't redeemed with gold or silver. The precious blood of Christ is more valuable than gold. That's what saves. And notice in verse 18 that your fathers, your ancestors, your parents, your grandparents or great-grandparents, people can hand down things to you. Look at that. They can hand things down to you. Maybe you're in someone's will and somebody handed something down to you. Well, whatever it was, it can't save you from sin. It doesn't matter what they handed you. And they can hand you gold and silver, but it's not going to save you from sin. What's going to save us? The precious blood. Look at that. The precious blood. Not just blood, but the precious blood as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. Why is that more precious than gold? Because that's the only thing that's going to save you in this life. Oh, you mean it's not my phone? I'm sorry, young people. It's not your phone. That's not going to save you. You mean my boyfriend? No. No, that's not going to do it. Running with the crowd, having a good time? Nope, that's not going to save us from sin. The precious blood of Jesus will. And Peter tells us how we contact that blood in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Baptism doth also now save you. It's the being baptized into Christ where we contact His blood. And it's more valuable than gold because it's the very thing that can redeem us from our vain manner of life. Look at that. Vain, empty. We're living a life. Oh, but Brother Reeves, you don't understand. I'm having a good time with my friends. Peter says it's an empty manner of life. If you're in sin and you're not a Christian, it's an empty manner of life. Well, I'm doing really good in school and I've got a bunch of friends and I've got a job and I've got a car and other things. It's empty with regard to your relationship with God until you become a Christian and are baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, and that's what's done with the precious blood of Jesus. Everything else is just empty. And today you can go home and watch some football games, and you can watch some other things, but just keep in mind that all the people engaged in that kind of stuff, as fun as it is and popular and all of that, it's empty and vain when it comes to eternal things. And we get caught up in all of the culture of our time, and we just need to step back, and Peter is giving a good dosage of reality. Look, folks, that's vain. When it comes to a relationship with God, you need to be redeemed from that by the precious blood of Jesus. And so, the blood of Jesus is more precious than gold because it's the only thing that saves us from sin. But we've got to contact that blood in baptism. That brings me to my next point. Well, how do we contact the blood of Christ in baptism? Well, we're going to have to exercise our faith, our obedient faith. And we're going to have to keep exercising that faith throughout our Christian life. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We were in verses 18 and 19, back up to verse 7. We're going to have to exercise our faith in obedience to Christ. And we're going to have to continue living that way, even though there might be trials that come up along the way. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, wherein you, he's talking to Christians, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you may be put to grief in manifold trials. The book of 1 Peter mentions the idea of suffering in all five chapters. Suffering, some form of suffering is mentioned in all five chapters. This was a difficult time for these brethren. And they're being put through manifold trials and tests, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is proved by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the second coming of Christ. When you are faithful and you stay faithful during these difficult times, as if you're going through fire, when Jesus comes again, you're going to get praise and glory and honor. But you've got to have a faith that when it is tested by the trials of this life, endures and makes it through that. And Peter says, that kind of faith is more precious than gold. What a great encouragement that is. Somebody says, well, it's difficult. It is difficult sometimes. It's difficult to go through some of the things that we have to go through in life. But the faithful Christian has a faith that is more precious than gold. You stop and think about that. When you go home, it's not about that gold chain. It's not about that gold ring. You think about what's in here. You think about what's in here. This enduring faith that is in here, that's what's more precious than that piece of jewelry. It's in here that gets us through the trials of life. Not a ring or a chain. Gold's not going to help you get through manifold trials. You can have all the gold in the world. It's not going to help you get through manifold trials. What is? Your enduring faith. So, we have to read God's Word. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've got to regularly be reading God's Word to get us through trials. We've got to believe it. We've got to practice it. We've got to go to God in prayer. We've got to be here and assemble on a regular basis. Assembling helps us get through trials. Prayer does. Bible reading does. Being around other faithful brethren. Talking with them about our troubles and trials and getting their feedback. That helps us. None of that has to do with gold. None. And God gives us the means by which we can make it through these manifold trials. And Peter says, it is proved by fire. And sometimes that fire is pretty hot. You know, it could be a job loss. It could be you're told that you have a severe health problem. It could be death. It could be a number of things. The fire could be pretty hot. But we can have a faith that works through that. And it's more precious than gold. And then last of all, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. There's one last thing that is highly prized and highly valuable, and even more so than gold. And that is the meek and quiet spirit of a woman. What I'm about to say here, and what Peter says here about women, could certainly also be applied to men. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, after talking about how that wives, verses 1 and 2, can be helpful in bringing their lost husbands to Christ by the way they act. Look at what Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 2. Look at this. Beholding your chaste, this is your holy and pure behavior. Before we get into verses 3, 4, and 5, just look at verse 2. Peter does not say, ladies, you really better be watching the clothing that you're wearing. Boy, your clothing, that is so important. And your good looks, that's what's important. What does he start off with in verse 2? What does he say? Your what? Your behavior. That's what is important. In our society, it's about your clothes and about your physical makeup. Peter doesn't say that's where it's at. Number one, you're going to win your husbands over by your chaste, pure, holy behavior coupled with fear. That's the respect and reverence for God. Peter is going to outline that it's on the inside of you, ladies, that's what's valuable, not what's on the outside with regard to jewelry and clothes and so forth. Look at verse 3. Who's adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of the braiding of hair and of the wearing of jewels, of gold, or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. This gets back to what we were talking about earlier, character. What's on the inside? Okay? But the hidden man of the heart. Verse 2, behavior. Verse 4, your heart. In the incorruptible apparel, it doesn't get old, of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. It's more important than the jewelry that you might be wearing. For after this manner, what manner? What manner? Verses 2, 3, and 4. What manner? The manner of an inward heart. The manner of a meek and quiet spirit. That which is on the inside. The holy women who also hoped in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. The holy women of God in the Old Testament, Peter says, that's what was important to them. A holy woman is not about her outward jewelry and her outward physical appearance. It's about the hidden man of the heart. That is to God of great price. In our culture, it's the opposite. It's ladies, you got to focus on all the outward stuff and don't worry about your inward character. It's amazing how much today society is directly opposite to God. Ladies, let me encourage you to not go after the lie of our culture that says you're a woman based upon the outward things, the way you look and the clothes that you buy and the jewelry that you wear. You are a holy woman based upon what's on the inside of you. Number one, that's how you're going to win your husband if you need to win him to the gospel, verse 1. But even if your husband is already a Christian, this is how holy women who hope in God. Look at verse 5. There are women who put their hope in God, and there are women who put their hope in the things of this world. And you want to be the woman who puts their hope in God. And you're focusing on that inward, meek, and quiet spirit. Meek here is a humble submission to the will of God. And quiet here is a calm disposition where you're living by God's word and by God's will. And notice that it's all on the inside. Nothing's on the outside. Peter doesn't praise anything that's on the outside, and that's what our culture praises. He praises everything on the inside. And ladies, look at what his point is in verse 6. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, look at this, whose children you now are. The whole point is, ladies, you're to be acting like these holy women of old. If you do well, it's according to God's word, and are not put in fear by any terror. Remember, they were going through difficult times. So, this meek and quiet spirit. Well, the lesson is yours. Gold doesn't bring happiness. Solomon said that in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, 8 through 11, and he had a lot of it. He knew from personal experience that physical gold does not bring happiness. It doesn't last forever. James says it'll eventually rust. So, what I would encourage us, brethren, is with regard to priorities. Jesus taught the importance of priorities, and we need to remind ourselves of the importance of priorities. Is it going to be God, or is it going to be gold? That's our choice. Let's choose those things that are more precious than gold. His word, the wisdom that comes from it, the good character and reputation that comes from that, putting on the precious blood of Christ in baptism, having an enduring faith, and ladies, having a meek and quiet spirit, and having that inward character in godliness. I love what Peter says, that in the sight of God, in the sight of God, don't worry about what culture says. In God's eyes, it's of great price. And we need women like that. We need mothers like that. We need wives like that. We need wives of elders and deacons and gospel preachers and Bible class teachers like that. We need ladies in the local congregation like that. Ladies that in culture don't typically get praised for those kinds of things, but we need those kind of ladies in the Lord's church today, and I believe that we have several here this morning, and I'm thankful that you're here. More precious than gold. If there's someone here this morning that needs to put on the precious blood of Jesus, you have an opportunity to have something this morning. Walk out with forgiveness of sins. More precious than gold. And to my brethren this morning, let's go out with that enduring faith. It's more precious than gold. If we can help you, if we can assist you, why won't you come as we stand and sing?